Sincere Faith, our printed scripture today is taken from Daniel, the first chapter. We're going to look at and examine verses 8 through 21. However, verses 1 through 7 give us our context for today, and there's some things that that will help us in our exposition of the text and understanding thereof. The first seven verses tell us that, describe for us some things that have gone on. Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, has come to power. He's a Chaldean, he's a Babylonian from Babylon. He is a fairly intelligent man, matter of fact, extremely intelligent, crafty. His skills have been chronicled. But he is a spiritual thug, him and his empire have come to power, and they began to read the press clippings, and they thought they got there simply on their own prowess, but in fact, they were being used by God to discipline the children of Israel. They have now been called into captivity, and they've taken some of the prime youth and citizens of Judah, and they've brought them into captivity. Imagine the four boys that we're going to talk about today, young men. As a matter of fact, Daniel could have been the age of as young as 13, as old as 15. When he was taken into captivity. And I realize a lot of us haven't been around youth in a long time, so I'm going to ask my brother here to stand. This is what a 13-year-old looks like. 13 years old. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Anderson. But you're going to see that they teach us a very valuable lesson about sincere faith. I just want to remind everyone that when you do the work of the Lord, faith will be tested. The devil doesn't take vacations. He doesn't observe Christmas, New Year's, and he doesn't take off. He doesn't observe the 4th of July. He's on the job 24/7. But a lot of things that happen to us, we wonder, why do bad things happen to good folk? In this life, you'll have tribulations. But the issue is, God expects you to be godly no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the conditions. And the true test of faith is not how well you do when conditions are ideal, but how well do you do, what do you respond, how do you respond in faith when things are just all messed up? 13 years old, taken from the lowly plains of Jerusalem and to this big Babylonian capital with its high walls and busy streets, and it had to be terrifying. But that's why the scripture is clear. Bring up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart from it. You've got to plant some seeds. You've got to make some deposits if you're going to get some return on your investments. And so evidently, the parents of these four boys that we're going to talk about today had made those deposits. And these young men had developed conviction out of the Mosaic law. We live in a time when culture and Christianity are at odds, because the culture, even our culture, is trying to define who we are. But Christ should be the definer. He is the creator. Christ should determine who we are, and we have our identity in Christ. But the world, despite the fact that Paul has told you don't be conformed to this world, it is the world's job to conform you to the world, its customs and its culture. We see this today. And the question is, how sincere is my faith? In light of what's happening in the culture, how sincere is my faith? One of the first things that we are going to see that this Chaldean culture, this Babylonian culture did to these Jewish children is that they changed, there was an attempt to change their identity. See, if a person doesn't know who they are, they don't know their purpose, they don't know their destination, they don't know where they're going. So, but how can you assimilate fully if you don't change that which is diametrically opposed to you? These men, these young boys rather, had been grown up in Jewish homes and have been taught about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew some things. But you can imagine at the age of 13, they didn't know everything. But the issue is to have faith, you don't have to know everything. You just have to trust God. Your faith has to be strong enough. The object of your faith cannot be in the culture. And I imagine they may have been impressed by the big city lights. But they knew one thing. They had been raised in a godly home. And just because you were in Rome, you don't have to act like the Romans. Now, I realize that's a foreign concept today, even in our churches, because in our churches become more of a theater for performing arts than a house of worship. Or I'm messing with somebody, but it's a new year. I got, you know, 53 to 51 more shots at this. But the issue is the culture says act like the streets. The church is not to do that. And if you're thoroughly convicted, if you're thoroughly sold out, you'll stand on your convictions despite the culture. Let's see, Russ Need, what could you possibly be talking about with someone? As a matter of fact, class, read verses 8 and 9 for me. The fairest of them all. They took them. Good looking boys. Intelligent boys. But they were to be brought into service to the king. And we can tell, and I realized there was some discussion, and I saw the chatter and clatter about what their status was. The scripture, though, tells us that they were put in charge, that an eunuch, the prince, the chief eunuch, was over them. Daniel never had children. Neither did Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. They were eunuchs, is the reason. And the reason being is that customs in the Chaldean custom was to take slaves and castrate them, make them eunuchs, so that their total focus would be on work, not other things. So it was a custom. So that, you know, we can try and get around about Daniel and all that. We know there's some evidence. And scripture more, and if you read 2 Kings, I think it's 2018 or Isaiah 39:7, you see that God prophesied, said that these people would be taken. Some of your kin, told Hezekiah, some of your kin will be taken off, and they will be made eunuchs in the Babylonian Empire. But now that they're in for the service, their trial was that fatten these boys up on the king's diet and prepare them for service. And verse 8 says that they purposed in their heart. They intentionally committed to their conviction. We will not eat the king's meat. We will not partake of the king's wine. We will not eat the king's food. But notice how they do it. Just because you try to live a godly life in this ungodly world, you've got to know how to act. Notice that they didn't demand. The verse says they made a request. They made a request. Could we not partake of this? Could you find, kind sir, in your heart that, we do quite well with the food that we're accustomed to. Could it be, we don't want to defile our bodies. You know, our faith says that we don't do this. It's not like the person who says, in those government offices out there said that you can't put your Bible on your desk and I'm going to put mine on there no matter what. Make a request. People that are appointed over you can't be talked to any kind of way. Y'all don't hear me. It's not bold faith. It's not sincere faith because you mouth off and act aberrant and ignorant. There is a way to do something. First of all, be polite. Make a request, and then leave it up to God. God's got your back. If you really trust God, you ain't got no business out there fighting. You can't win. Bringing a whole bunch of chaos to the job, you can't win. It's not sincere faith because you mouth off. It says that they made a request. And verse 9 says, God had given them favor with the eunuchs. Instead of you trying to network, let God do the networking. Let God hook you up. Because there is no situation that you're in, there's no circumstance that has been brought on you that God does not already have a solution for. But the test is, will you respond in a godly manner to ungodly conditions? And the first thing is, you got to be nice. You got to be polite to folk. That's how they did it. And it says that, I want to read 9 again. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuch. They liked. God had called this unit for some reason just like these boys. And you know what, folk? If you are honest with many of the circumstances that you've been in life, it's not because you've been so good. Not because you're smarter than everybody else, that you got the wherewithal going. But God was there before you got there, intervening on your behalf. Before these boys were ever left Jerusalem, God knew where their assignment was going to be. He knew what was going to happen to them. And he knew that he had a way to ensure that favor fell upon them. Verse 10 says,
And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink.
Quick translation. You got to be crazy. You realize who I work for? My life is on the line. The king is expecting you guys to be looking good, acting good, smelling good, doing good. And there's a prescribed diet. Do you really think that I would risk it all? Read verse 9. Don't read it. It's rhetorical. Read verse 9. God's working this thing. And yeah, this eunuch has a difficult choice because he's got to trust Daniel while Daniel is trusting God. He's got to trust Daniel, who he knows a little bit, and at the same time, trusting a God that he don't know at all. If he's to do, if he's to honor the request that has been made by these boys, we will not defile our bodies. Please, sir, help us. And he says, hey, that is a big risk. My life is at jeopardy. But can you imagine the number of people who've gone out of their way when God was intervening on your behalf to do something for you? It seemed impossible, but what you did is you trusted God more than this situation. See, this is sincere faith. Sincere faith is not getting all riled up. Sincere faith is not counting the odds that are against you. Sincere faith is trusting that God is there and working on your behalf no matter who he's dealing with. But you don't know some of these people that I deal with. These people are tough. You know, these people are all out for themselves, and you know, they just working for the man, and the man is on our neck, and you know, you can't do certain things. They're not going to risk their careers. There are folk that have risked their careers for you, every one of you. There are people that have taken a chance on you. Do you understand that I know that all you guys weren't perfect in the early days? You perfect now. I could ask anybody, you know, just give me a time when somebody went out on a limb for you, they could have really been in trouble for helping you, and you have to sometimes ask yourself, I wonder why. You don't have to wonder. God was working in that thing. And I have too many to count. Folk that took a chance. I would have never completed military service. Because after 6 months, I would have been gone. Unless someone, different culture, different class, saw something. But they could only see what God showed them. God working on that behalf, because he knows your purpose. He knows from the start. But will you trust him? And so now, you know, you got this guy on the fence. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel. He's an assistant now. He's not chief guy. Over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Here's what he said. If you were so sure that God is working on your behalf, ladies and gentlemen, if you can pontificate without doubt that God is working on your behalf, let him test you. Brown has said it on many Sundays right here in this church, and you guys have heard it. A faith that cannot be tested, a faith that is not tested, can't be trusted. What are you going to do when the times are hard? What are you going to do When the odds are against you, the circumstances, the conditions are against you, trust God. And you know what he said? I tell you what, test us. And the proposed test is that you give us this food and just see if we won't prove. What he was saying was that see if God won't prove this thing. 10 days. That's all I asked for, 10 days. I ask you kind, sir, please, don't have me defile my body. Still humble, still submissive, but persistent. Because faith that is sincere is persistent. Just because you get no the first time doesn't mean that's the answer you have. That wasn't their real answer. That was the answer to see if you're really interested in what you want. I learned that one a long time ago. I had a younger brother, my younger brother Charles. If he was alive and could testify, he would tell you he never got nothing. And the reason why is that he was self-sufficient. He's a hustler, in other words. Very early day, he'll pick up a bottle long before it became popular. Sell it, he'll find something. But me, I'm gonna ask. Because I learned very early that you have not because you ask not. And you gotta keep on asking. And you gotta be able to submit yourselves to the dialogue that people have and answer in response to your requests. Because if you give up too soon because they say no, or if you give up because they say, well, I don't know about that. I'm a little concerned on what would happen to us. You keep asking. Because if they just said, I'm concerned about it, that means that they haven't said no. So sincere faith is persistent. It'll keep on keeping on. Daniel says, look, just prove us. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and thou seest, deal with thy servants. If you see a marked difference of degradation, you deal with us. Or you deal with us however the countenance turns out, however the results are. We are so certain. How many of us are that certain about our faith, that God's got our back, that when we are faced with a difficult situation, we're willing to tell them, look, try this. Just try. Try this. Try it my way. When they tell you, don't say the name of Jesus. When they tell you, don't say the name of Jesus, That's not a clue for you to say, okay, I won't do it. Because I'm going to tell you, the climate today is such that the culture says that you won't do that. But are you going to, yes, ma'am, I see someone waving their hand. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And he was still there, I got to stand up, and I went to the city council meeting. Every one of those city council members voted for me, and Park would be named Mary Woodfield first. That's what God does. And I have an invitation. There's something in my background that you can help prepare. But God,
absolutely. You could have said, you could have went away when they said no, when those folk, when your naysayers told you, don't go down there messing with those folk. Because I tell you, you would not be sitting in this classroom right now if Pastor Brown and Leon Jones had listened to the city council.
All right. All right.
You would not be sitting here. But what God has for you, and I'll give the testimony. I'll give the testimony. We were on Pat Booker, the Resurrection Baptist Church. They had scraped and scrimped money for years, and now they finally want to buy in UC. And they went down to the council. It's Pastor Oliver Nelson and Pastor Brown and some others. And the council told them, no. It wasn't that they had enough churches. They just thought that a church would not be good for that particular area. A church. But God.
All right. Amen.
Could have went away. Could have went on out the loop, bought out there. But God rewards, as we'll see in a minute here, rewards sincere faith. Just because they say no, it ain't over until God says it's over. Sincere faith will be tested. Sincere faith should be tested. And you can pontificate the result. See if we aren't better. We'll be better for it. No doubt about it. Verse 14 says what? I'll just read three words in verse 14.
So he consented.
Y'all better read that again. He made a request. He says, trust me. Test me as I trust God. And so the man consented. When you demonstrate the proper faith, the world who doesn't know your God will acquiesce to your request. This man had no reason. Keith, let me tell you, most folk don't go out on a limb. Do you know who Nebuchadnezzar is? Nebuchadnezzar is the king of the Babylonian kingdom called Chaldeans. These are the most ruthless, thuggish folk you ever wanted to deal with. These are the same people who boiled infants in peanut oil. Because of non-compliance by their parents. You think they care about a eunuch who's been put in charge, who has a duty to do what the king says? This eunuch puts his life on the line because verse 14 says he consented. But why did he consent? Because God is right in the midst of it. It don't make no sense for this guy to consent. It makes no sense whatsoever. When you go down there and check with the council, the individual votes, they say, we don't know why we did that. I thought we said we were not going to do that. But so they consented to them in this matter and proved them and tested them for 10 days. Read the results. Tell me something, folks. How many of y'all, we can be honest now, ain't nobody looking. We all family. We all family. And trust me, Deacon Johnson's teaching another class next week, but he ain't gonna tell nobody that y'all did this, okay? How many of y'all would have eaten the meat? You gonna die. If you don't comply. And you say, I'm not gonna eat. I only got a couple of hands. I only had a couple of hands. Honest folk. And see, and if I were to really delve into their reasons for raising their hand, somebody like Jim might tell me, look, I'm a meat eater. Ain't nothing wrong with the meat. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Jim and BJ, because guess what? We do it every day. The culture says do one thing, and we start complying just to get along. Or it won't hurt nothing. I did that at the Rock, I might as well do it here. Thou shall not steal. So I should have no problem leaving my iPad, my phone, my wife's purse, nothing on a chair in a room. If I leave it there, it should be there or in the lost and found when I get back. All the money should be right there. Don't you put your purse down. But we're in church. See, most folk, you got to understand, I say most, wrong word. Many folk come to church the same way they go to nightclubs. The same way they go to fraternity, sorority meetings, the local breakfast club. They have no idea what churchdom is. What living godly, what you're supposed to be and do when you're here. And then there are folks who are just saying, you know, what's a little compromise? Let's just get along. See, the church, if I wanted to be in a club, I would never come down 1002 Live Oak Road. But if I come to church and all I find is a theater for performing arts, I'm a little disconcerted. Because it's a compromise of a conviction. Let the church be the church. Let the club be the club. I ain't got nothing against the club. You go right on. Do your own thing. But you will never hear Amazing Grace in the club. You'll never see them taking communion in the club. Won't do it. Because that's not a part of their identity. That's not what they do. Oh, Brother Nita, you too far out there. It's income tax time. And if you cheat, it's just cheating the government. Do you know who the government is? Look to your right or left. Straight ahead in the back of you. That's the government. Because if you compromise on one thing, you'll find that there's a slippery slope. You start compromising on other things. But if you stand firm and trust God, there's some reward in that. Because these boys were tested for 10 days, eating what we call now the Daniel diet. Jim says he's a meat eater. He don't play Daniel diet. Because vegetables and water is essentially what the Daniel diet is. But guess what? They trusted God. They didn't eat the king's meat. Thus Melzoth took away the portion of their meat and that wine and that they should drink and gave them pulse. And for these four children, God gave them knowledge. Because they obeyed, because they stuck to their conviction, because their faith was sincere, their trust in God was sincere, it had been tested and proven, the world conforms to them. Did y'all just see verse 16 there? They didn't have to eat the king's portion again. Do you realize that's what witnessing is all about, folks? It's about you changing the world's mind about God. Not the world changing your mind. The first thing we want to do is back off. You know, and say, oh, don't bring me that Jesus thing. Well, what else do I have to bring you? See, a rejection of Christ in any way is a rejection of you. Because Christ is in you. A rejection of God is a rejection of you. How can you say you love my Father and lick your tongue out at his Son? But that's what the world asked us to do, is give up your convictions. Don't have sincere faith. Don't have a trust in God. But here we see the results, that when you trust God, good things happen. The world changed. They didn't conform to the world. The world is now conforming to them in this little bitty space. And that's all you want. You just want a little bit of it. Because the world's going to be the world. But can you be the church? Can you be a godly man or woman in this ungodly world? Will your faith stand the test? Is your faith sincere enough to be tested and proven, tried? Verse 17 says, "And for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." They maintained their convictions, and now God has elevated them. It's tough, folks. This is a tough one, because you are out in this world, and the world has influences. But you got to realize, do you want the promotion that the world has? Or do you want a promotion that God has for you? I would rather have God's anointing than the world's appointments. There's no promotion in the world that I would want over God's anointing. Because here we find these guys, and these guys, well, y'all know by next week you'll see that these other three boys are going to be testing another. See, your conviction may not be my conviction. Although we should share it, there should be some commonality. But next week, these boys got a problem they got a knee problem. Because they ain't bowing to nobody. And they said, "We will not bow." They just told them up front, we're not going to bow. They didn't ask them to do nothing. What they request, the request is very similar, is that do what you got to do. And I'm going to let God do what He has to do. How many of us can stand up and tell the world, "You do what you got to do, but I'm going to let God do what He has to do"? Because see, that's a test of your faith. And for that, there is a reward. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Four little scrawny kids standing before the king of the Babylonian Empire, communing with the king of the Babylonian Empire. Many of you never thought that you'd be where you are, but God had His hand on your life. He had a purpose for you. He knew your destiny. He knew the heights that you would attain if you just held true. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, it is so important for you to bring up a child in the way that he should go, so that when he's older, he will not depart from them. These were boys. These aren't no well-tested men, you know, don't care if I die. These were young boys with all the kind of future in the world ahead of them. And they said, "We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To do this one thing would defile us." And it may be a simple thing. You know, nobody, you know, they would have heard about it, but nobody would have seen them. You know, they go over there eating the kings. I wonder if they eating. Because guess what? No, I guarantee you nobody knew that they were eating Daniel's diet. Because those eunuchs were not going to let that out during that 10-day period. They were not going to let nobody know. You know what? They rejected the king's food. They'd have never had another mouthful. But instead, God has now elevated them, that they are now running with kings. And if you know the story, Daniel went on to become this great prophet, but became an official in the Babylonian Empire. well respected, well renowned. And he would be tried at other times. See, because if you start with the small things, the meal is the small thing. You'll excel in the larger things. He went from rejecting their meals to the lion rejecting him as a meal. Because you're going to learn later on that he prayed three times a day. And a decree came that he should not pray. And Daniel says, you got a problem. He said, what's your problem? I got a prayer problem. Because I pray every day. But in this one little thing, that became a major, and we read all about it. But this one little thing, I will not eat the food. I will not act like the world. I will be godly in an ungodly world. I will act like a child of God. My home will represent the fact that I'm a child of God. My church. Folks, it's tough times. Do you realize there are churches, there are Protestant churches. I shared with the deacons not long ago. There are churches where the name of Jesus cannot be said, will not be said. And they call themselves a church. The name of Jesus, the one who established the church. Because it's easy when they take your identity. But just because somebody gives you another name doesn't change who you are. They change their names, but they don't change your purpose. You're a Christian, you ought to act like a Christian. You're a man, you ought to act like a man. You're a woman, you ought to act like a woman. You're a child, you ought to act like a child. And anybody tells you that you're something different than from what you are, you ought to be suspect of that. And you ought to stand firm in your conviction. And you ought to be willing to say, look, test me. You don't know whether I'm a man or woman? Test me. All under the auspices of trusting God and who he is. They commune with him, all of them. Verse 20 says, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them. Y'all didn't read that. They didn't read it, Johnson. They didn't read it. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them. Kind of kids, 13-year-old kids, all the soothsayers, root workers, doctors, you know, bums were better because God had his hand on them. Because these boys are going to be used now to help encourage others in their faith, not only here. Now you know they found out about it. It's recorded here. Oh man, they used the Daniel diet. They didn't have to eat there. You know, we didn't have to compromise on what they didn't. Next week, you're going to find somebody's going to bow. They didn't bow. And then we're going to find out, oh, he prayed. What you do, you're modeling for other folk. The convictions that you show, if you call yourself a godly person, then your faith ought to be sincere enough. Your faith ought to be strong enough to be tested and tried. Because whether it's strong enough or not, ladies and gentlemen, it will be tested. Wait till them 1040s come out next year. It will be tested. But I digress. And Daniel continued even until the first year of King Cyrus. The importance of that particular scripture is that this young man who went into exile never came out. See, some of your conditions are not going to change. Some of your situations are not going to change. But he still prospered regardless of his conditions and situation because he was hooked up to the Lord. But he stayed there. That's why he was approximately 90 years old when he came, when he died. And he died in captivity in Babylon. Never came out of Babylon. But you don't have to get out of Babylon. You just got to get Babylon out of you. And here we have an example. And the only way it's going to happen is if you trust God explicitly. Trust him when you don't see no way. That's a good time to trust him. Trust him when you think you see the way. And then, if you are thoroughly convinced that you are, your convictions are sound and they're in line with God, you should be able to tell anyone, try me. See that my God won't provide all my needs according to his riches. It is not sincere faith for you to be the only one crying on the job when there's a pink slip. It's not sincere faith when the rift comes and you don't get promoted. It's not sincere faith when your finances are funny, but yet you're complaining like your God is broke. Trust God. Don't compromise. Let the church be the church. Live a godly life despite this ungodly world. That's my time.